Listen now to the word of our Lord. Jesus was telling them, the disciples, a parable about their near need to pray continuously and not to be discouraged. He said, "In a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected people. In that city there was also a widow who kept coming to him asking, 'Give me justice in this case against my adversary.' For a while the judge refused, but finally said to himself, 'I don't fear God or respect people, but I'll give this widow justice, because she keeps bothering me. Otherwise, there will be no end to her coming here and embarrassing me.' And the Lord said, 'Listen to what the unjust judge says. Won't God provide justice to his chosen people who cry out to him day and night? Will he be slow to help them? I tell you, he will give them justice quickly. But when the human one comes, will he find faithfulness on earth?'" The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. And let's pray together. God, we thank you. We thank you for this opportunity that we have to come into this place and to celebrate all that you are doing in our lives. And so, God, now as we pause to hear your word read and proclaimed, we pray that you will speak mightily into our hearts and into our lives. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. If you were with us last Sunday, you heard Pastor Bob tell the story of Honi. Honi was a wise religious man about 100 years before the birth of Jesus. And the people of Israel during this time were experiencing a devastating drought. One historian says it was a drought that threatened to destroy a generation. Now, we who live in this area know something about drought. But for us, drought, for the most part, is an inconvenience. I mean, it threatens us from time to time, but mostly it means you can't water your lawn whenever you want to, you know, and you can't wash the car when you would like. But for the people of the first century, a drought meant not only was there nothing to bathe in and nothing to wash with and nothing to drink, but if the drought lasts long enough, crops stop growing and there's no food to eat. Livestock can't survive without water and grain, and soon there will be no food. This drought really threatened to destroy a generation. Now, known as a man of God, the people came to Honi one day and asked him to pray. They wanted him specifically to pray for rain. In essence, they wanted him to pray for life. I mean, they were dying, they were desperate, and they needed a miracle. And so Honi did something that was crazy. In the dry, dusty ground, he drew a circle. And before all of the people, he knelt down in the circle and began to pray. And he prayed a prayer something like this: "Lord of the universe, I swear before your great name that I will not move from this circle until you have shown mercy upon your children." Nowhere in history does it say how long Honi knelt in that circle. All that we know is that before he got up, it started to rain. Now, rain's a bit of an overstatement. The reports are that when the rains first came, it was a drizzle. Maybe a mist kind of in the air. You know, it just kind of felt wet, but nothing was really productive happening here. And everybody kind of wondered what was happening. Not Honi. Stayed on his knees in the circle and amended his prayer a little. "Not for such rain have I prayed," he continued, "but for rain that will fill cisterns and pits and caverns."
And the report is that the rain changed. One report says that there was no raindrop smaller than the size of an egg. It didn't just rain, it poured. And people started to scatter. Worried about flash flooding, they ran for higher ground. Not Honi. He knelt his ground in the circle and amended his prayer once more. Not for such rain have I prayed, but for rain of your favor, blessing, and graciousness. And the reports are that the rain evened out and began to fall perfectly. The drought was over, and life would continue. And I hear that story, and I think, I want to pray like Honi prayed. I want to pray hard. And I want to pray boldly. But all too often, I confess, I pray very safe prayers. I first heard Honi's story while attending the Large Church Initiative in Atlanta with Pastor Bob. We traveled out there to go to one of those church-wide conferences for church leaders. I didn't really expect God to break into my life in a powerful way while I was learning how to be a better associate pastor of a large church. I went to LCI just kind of wanting some new skills and some new things to happen. But one night, Mark Batterson was the keynote speaker, and sitting in the pews, and yes, Mount Pisgah United Methodist Church has an amphitheater filled with real old-fashioned pews. We're sitting in those pews. God did something that day in me. Mark Batterson is the author of a very popular book called The Circle Maker. When he got up to speak, he told this story of Honi, who prayed for rain. And to put all my cards on the table, you should know I've read The Circle Maker 3 times in its entirety since March. And I've read large chunks of it preparing for this sermon and in different times. And there's a part of me that I've heard lots of criticism of Mark Batterson's book. And there's a part of me that absolutely agrees with the criticism. But you have to know that these words fell on my soul like the rain fell on the dry ground for those people when Honi prayed. Because I was in a spiritual drought at that time. I felt this grand distance between me and God. I mean, I can't share with you all of the details, but I was just feeling there was a chasm between God and me, which is a really nice way to say I was angry with God, which is a really nice way to say what I'd really like to say, but I shouldn't say in church, about how I was feeling about God. I was angry. Frustrated. I was feeling like God hadn't been faithful to me, despite my attempts to be faithful to Him. To put it simply and to confess my arrogance and heresy, I felt like God hadn't kept up His end of the deal. I'd done my part, and He wasn't doing His. And like most of us, when we're in a relationship and we're mad at the other person, I just stop talking to him. Shut it down. And I stopped listening. The whole doing the right thing didn't seem to be working. And I thought, well, now it's time to take care of me. And I was ready to shut God out and go my merry way. But then it started to rain. I came home from that conference confused and desperate. I was desperate for answers, desperate for nourishment, desperate for new life. And so I thought, what have I got to lose? The first morning back, I got down in this room, in our guest room in our basement, and I started to pray. I actually considered going and getting a hula hoop out of the garage, laying it down and kneeling in the circle so that I could pray the way I had heard you could pray. I didn't quite go that far, but I started to pray differently. And the first morning, I just let it go. I let God have it, as some people would say. All the anger and frustration, everything that I knew in my head was bad theology, but I was feeling anyway, all came out. I've done what you've asked me to do. Where are you? Why aren't you keeping up your end of this deal? And then I did something I hadn't done in a really long time. I asked God for what I needed. I stopped trying to pray right, and I just prayed. For example, I thought I needed money. Are you allowed to pray for money? I didn't care. I prayed for money. I needed wisdom for some stuff I couldn't handle in my life. And you know, most of the time I ask God to give me wisdom. You know, oh, help me figure this out. Safe prayer. This time I just went, man, I don't get this. You handle it. Take it. Do something with this. There were people in my life who were going through things from outside of them, and some that were going through things that were inside of them. And me being a rational 21st century person, I actually prayed, God, take the demons away from them. I was desperate. And so I asked for what I wanted. It wasn't part of my consciousness at the time, but I think in some way I was living out today's gospel lesson. Toward the end of Luke chapter 17, Jesus is telling the disciples and whoever else is gathered around about the kingdom of God that's going to come. And when the kingdom of God comes, everything's going to be better because God will be ruling and God will reign. And well, they've been praying for that for hundreds of years. And I don't know if Jesus could just see the exasperation in their eyes or what it was, but the very next thing he does is tell them this parable. A parable about a judge. A judge who lives in a certain city, and Jesus describes him as one who neither feared God nor respected people. And my guess is that everybody around Jesus knew exactly the kind of person he was talking about. They were living under that kind of rule. The Romans were in charge, and they didn't fear God. They were strong. They were powerful. They were the world force. They could solve all their problems on their own. They thought the emperor was God. I mean, he ruled the world in their minds. So they didn't fear God, the rulers that they lived under, and they certainly didn't respect people. These Israelites knew what it was to live under this authority that really didn't care about them all that much. And Jesus continues the parable. In that city, there was a widow. And I just want to pause there for a moment. A widow. That's about synonymous with poor and vulnerable. Remember, this is a first century male-dominated society. Women needed to depend on men for the most part for providing. And a widow with no male children was really at the mercy of the system. The system that we just said didn't love God or respect people. Poor and vulnerable. But she goes to the judge and cries out for justice. Give me justice against my adversary. And I imagine all of the disciples and all of those gathered around Jesus at that time knew exactly what that felt like. Here's this judge who doesn't care about me, who doesn't even care about God, and won't give me justice. And Jesus says this woman went again and again and again to ask for justice. In some sense, this is the disciple story. In some sense, this is our story. Because life isn't fair. We've all been through periods when we screamed that out. Life isn't fair. The world doesn't work the way it should work. When's God going to take over and make sure justice is served for his people who are poor and vulnerable and treated unfairly? Should we even bother keep praying for that? But the widow kept coming day after day after day. And then Jesus says that the judge, who identifies at this point himself as one who doesn't fear God or respect people, in case you've forgotten, relents and gives the widow what she wants, even though he doesn't fear God or respect people, because he just wants her to stop and he wants her to go away. Now remember, Luke prefaced this by saying, this is a story about prayer. He says, Jesus was telling them a parable about their need to pray continuously and not to be discouraged. Now, if you read this parable just on the surface, you can come to the conclusion, as some have, that if you nag God long enough, he'll give you what you want. Right? You read it on the surface, and it's like, if I can just bother God enough about my marriage, he'll fix it till I'll go away. Or if I pester God long enough for a new car and a new house, he'll give it to me, so I'll just go away. Does that sound like God to you? No. So that's not what this parable is about. In fact, Jesus is doing the opposite. He's not saying God's like this judge who can be pestered into giving us what we need. Instead, he's saying God's nothing like this judge who can be pestered. Imagine what God will do if the judge will do the right thing because he's bugged. Imagine what God, who loves you, will do for you if an evil person can be pestered into doing it. Keep praying. Keep asking. Keep going. As my prayer life continues to grow, I'm becoming more and more aware of how safe my prayers used to be. And what I mean by safe prayer is, a safe prayer is one that you can't be disappointed with because you don't really ask God for anything anyway. I prayed a lot of those prayers. God, help me accomplish X. I just kind of need your assistance. I'll do the work. God, come alongside me in this thing. But Honi prayed a bold prayer. This woman made a bold request before the judge. Our Old Testament lesson for this morning is the story of Elijah. Elijah goes out on a hill to pray for rain, like Honi. Mark Batterson brings up this, and he wonders aloud if Elijah wasn't one of Honi's heroes. You know, when he knelt in that circle to pray, was he thinking of Elijah on the hillside asking for the same prayer hundreds of years earlier? But Elijah had no power to make it rain. He didn't know what was going to happen, but he goes to go make it rain. He's going to go pray a prayer to make it rain. But there's this wonderful verse right before he goes to pray the prayer. He talks to the king. This is 1 Kings 18:41, and you read this. Elijah then said to Ahab, the king, "Get up, celebrate with food and drink, because I hear the sound of a rainstorm coming." He hasn't prayed yet. "Get the party ready because it's going to rain," he says. But he hasn't even prayed for it yet. I want to pray like that. I want to pray expecting God to come through. Risky and persistent. When Honi knelt in that circle and said, "God, I'm not moving until you make it rain," he wasn't at his house in a private place. He was out in public in front of all of the people. What if it didn't rain? But he was bold and consistent. When that widow in Jesus' parable went before the judge over and over again to ask for justice, if this was a judge who didn't fear God or respect people, she might have expected to get thrown in jail or worse for bugging him all the time. It was bold. It was daring. And she did it over and over and over again. I want to stop praying safe prayers. I want to pray prayers like that. I want a faith strong enough to believe that God is going to come through on even the most daring prayer. May we be people who pray hard, who pray through, and who act on what we pray for. This morning, as I was preparing the sermon this week, it occurred to me, there's a lot of things in our spiritual lives that they're really easy to know a lot about and not really practice all that much. So this morning, I want to give us an extended time before God in prayer. And we're going to do something a little liturgical, meaning something we don't usually do at the service. But I'm going to do a guided prayer where I'll just kind of bring up a topic and invite you to pray silently or lift up out loud a name, a cause, a thought that comes as we pray together. At the end of each section, I'll say, Lord, in your mercy, and the response is, hear our prayer. Let's go to God in prayer together. God, we thank you for the ways in which you move in our lives. We thank you for your presence here with us this morning. And especially today, we thank you for the examples of Elijah and Honi and that woman who went before that judge. Teach us, O God, to ask for what we need and to pray bold prayers. God, we pray for the peace from above, for the loving kindness of God, and for the salvation of our souls. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. For the peace of the world, for the welfare of the Holy Church of God, and for the unity of all people, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. For our bishop and for all the clergy and leaders of our church, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. For our president, for the leaders of all the nations, and for all in authority, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. For our town of Monument, and for every city and community, and for those who live in them, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. For those who are traveling this day, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. For the aged and infirmed, for widows and orphans, for the sick and the suffering, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. For the poor and oppressed, for the unemployed and the destitute, for prisoners and captives, and for all who remember and care for them, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. For the forgiveness of our sins and offenses, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, in your great mercy, we come to you today. Teach us to ask for what we need, to pray bold, risky prayers. And give us the courage to know you are ever more ready to give than we are to ask. Strengthen us to work for what we pray for, knowing it is already yours. In the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ, we pray. Amen.